Blog Talk Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go.
I want you to work in me.
So, amen. Well, we thank God on tonight. We thank God for in the Praise Me Media Group. We thank you for a wonderful show tonight. Pastor Hill, are you there? Hello? Brazil.
Pastor Brown back on the line?
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, we're trying to get it. We couldn't go through the new system, so let's just go ahead and do a little segment, and then we'll just put it out. I think it was a good show. I think you got something in when you was talking. I'm sorry to put you all on the spot on a Saturday night, but you know how Nathan is. We got to get this new system up and running. So the topic for tonight is turning the hearts of fathers back to the children. So if you don't elaborate on that, and I know the pastor, I know you done prayed while I was behind the scene there trying to get things to go right. So we can continue. Putting y'all on the spot on the set. I'm sorry to mess up y'all feelings with me. But sometimes you got to get things done. It's one thing we have to get done tonight. So let's make it a good show. So the last caller that called in, if you decide you want to speak or you want to say anything, just hit star. Hit one. Hit one, and you'll come live. So, Daniel Hampton, you want to speak on that a little bit? Or Pastor Brown, you want to go ahead and elaborate a little bit more before, you, before we drop you, before you was dropped?
Now, what I was saying is that it's been brought to my attention that many men feel that when a woman gets married, and that man is still single, you know, a lot of brothers feel like their child support should be automatically reduced. It should be automatically reduced because when that woman marries another man, that man becomes legally responsible for the welfare of that child anyhow. Now, we're not saying that a man should be, he should have grace as far as his responsibilities to his child. We're not saying that he should not take care of his child at all. All I'm saying is this, that the man should automatically have a reduction in his child support because clearly the woman is grossing more in her household now. She's not hurting. Really, she has no complaint because she, if she's marrying the right man, she's taken care of anyway and that child is provided for anyway. And if any man she marries says, well, that's not my responsibility, you know, that's not the right man anyway. So, but if she gets married, her household income is definitely going up, at least another 75%, in most cases 100%. So a lot of brothers have been saying that, and I really believe that if a lot of brothers there's a lot of brothers that have been done wrong on child support. There's a lot of sisters who put child support on brothers because, you know, the past relationship didn't work out. And then there's actually brothers who don't take care of their kids. And kids grow up resentful and bitter and all of that stuff. So this is the topic that we're talking about tonight. So, you know, just wanted to, you know, bring in the intro. And, you know, the floor is open right now.
Yeah. Well, I never had to pay child support. But I had one child out of wedlock, and the way I feel about it is that I never had to pay child support because I support that child, although she got married and had a beautiful income with her husband. But what I did, I had the money start going into a trust fund. And by going into a trust fund, I was sure that the money would be distributed when he needed it. And like that, I think worked out pretty good for me. But I never really had to pay child support, so I don't know exactly, you know, I mean, what to, too much to say on that. But that's something that I guess is a heavy topic.
So, and I want to say that. So, what do you think that about women who put brothers on child support just for spite? Just for spite. Do you think the court should do something about that?
Well, I think when a woman do that for spite, I think she's using that child as a tool. And I think all that is not the best, in the best interest of the child. So
right,
when a woman starts doing that, I think that's a terrible thing because I look at it like this. Is that child is innocent to the fact that that child didn't have any say-so coming into this world. And I believe that the parents, the mother, and the father should take full responsibility to make sure that that child is not caught up in between. Because I believe when that happened, I believe both of them suffered the consequences of it. And that's why I think we have so many young men and women in jail when it comes down to, you know, caught up in a situation with a child. Because the child begins to pick up on that as the child grew older, and that child starts becoming rebellious against both of them. So I feel like when either party start doing that, that's on a dead end. I mean, they're headed for destruction. So I always pray that, that both of them would just understand, what the best interest of the child. And I know how hate can grow between two people when they try to get back at each other. But that's something that the enemy gets into that, and the devil use that to try to destroy the child, the husband, and the father.
Right. So we have somebody else in the room with us. We have another caller with us. Caller, you can feel free to, jump in on this conversation.
My neighbor got a conversation. Neighbor got to put y'all on the spot. What? The question was shot to me today on Myrtle Beach. And our daughters and sons have got caught up in this hype of Myrtle Beach. And they said, you got to get on TV and see what's going on Myrtle Beach this Saturday. Do y'all have any comments of how they go down there for Tobacco Week and how they dressing, how they acting? What's going on in Myrtle Beach tonight?
Well, I'm kind of familiar with a little bit about the Myrtle Beach thing. We know that there's a lot of racism down there on the Myrtle Beach years ago. I don't know about the case now, but I know years ago a lot of brothers and sisters of Nubian, African Americans go down there and they would be discriminated against in various businesses. They'll go to get various items and things like that, and they'll just be overcharged and things like that, or they wasn't allowed in certain places and things like that, and they just really shunned upon. And then you have actually the Bikers Week where, the women are getting on back of the motorcycles. They're wearing nothing but they're basically naked on back of the bicycles. I've never viewed it, but I've just heard about it. And, wearing scantily clad clothes and all of that stuff, and but it's basically us of the minority community, we didn't put the Biker Week together. I'm not a racist by any means, but they had a thing down in Atlanta that's called Freaknik. I think it was called Freaknik back in the 90s, and they basically did everything but shut that down. And so, Biker Week, whether it's Daytona, Myrtle Beach, it's really out of order. So it really doesn't, us of the kingdom, it really has nothing, to glorify God in the least of that. So.
I think a lot of, I've never been to one of them, but I've heard a lot about them. And a lot of bad things. I think it's all about partying, the world thing where people go to try to find some kind of way out of release themselves or having problems. And just something, to start off, the intention would be good, but then things can turn in a minute of a second. If I try to stay away from that crowd, every time going to witness, do a little, vandalizing, but other than that,
I think that's just the world system.
Okay.
That's
still our children now. We sitting back and voicing our opinion, speaking out and telling God we need to change this thing. The door got to open up for the change to be made. That's how the door got started. Somebody had to speak something for this to stop. Now somebody got to speak something for it to stop. And I think
first, number one, the church need to come together. If they're going to make an impact in the world, you can't make an impact in the world and then, the churches is not coming together. I'm not talking about the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the invisible church of believers that are gathered in his name. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the body. There's nothing wrong with the actual spiritual body church. I'm talking about the church building occupiers, those who are in the church, those who are not there yet, those who are, you know, need to be healed in various areas of their lives. So, I mean, I think really the people in the churches need to come together on one accord. A lot of teaching needs to be done to bring people together so they can be shining the light in their communities and doing what you said, Pastor Hill. Just not sitting back. The people are sitting back because they're not being stirred up. They're not being taught to speak out on these things. We're taught to be religious. We're being taught to be religious and not speak out against those things that go out in the world. They think, you know, we're being taught that we only should speak inside the church, and they're trying to suppress our voices inside our own churches. So, you know, that's definitely something needs to be done.
Yeah, I think a whole lot.
Did that just happen?
Yeah, I think a whole lot, you know what I mean, it needs to be done. And I think, you know what I mean, just like the brothers were saying, you know what I mean, he that went his soul must be wise. The church come together and lay out a strategy, then you implement that strategy. And I believe like Jesus did with his disciples, you know what I mean? Somebody got to take the lead. And I think a lot of times the members of the body of Christ, they learn through experience. And experience comes through, you know, on-the-job training. And I believe that a lot of ministers are going on to get degrees and various Bible colleges, but a lot of them don't really implement what they learn in the colleges so far as going out into the world. And I think that's where the Holy Ghost power coming at. I think it needs to be more holy boldness in Christ to be able to implement what we know. And I know that's where it is in me. You have to have that Holy Ghost power, that fire on the inside to give you the boldness to speak out. Other than that, you got a whole lot of learning, but you're not implementing that which we've learned. And that's where I see a lack in there when it comes down to the body of Christ.
Amen.
We got about 4 minutes left in this show for tonight. It was a test show to see if you can come on a new system. Our new system didn't work, but we're going to continue to work with it, and I can see what I can do from the studio side to get it in operation. There's going to be a better system, I was told through classes I took last week. We're going to continue on. I know Pastor Brown is going to go behind the veil in about 4 or 5 minutes. I'm going to take time to edit this show down and see if I'm going to put it on the air for the night. But I think it's a good segment. And I'm going to hook up behind the veil a little later on. If that is happening, I couldn't have did it without you. I surely appreciate you took it out 30 minutes of your time on this holiday. So, Pastor Brown, I got to get you with it, everything. And I thank God for the caller that's waiting so patient and made the show what it is. We couldn't have did it without you, honestly.
And you be encouraged, John Hill, keep up the good work.
Yeah, we got to get it. You'd be surprised. What we are speaking now, we are opening the door in the atmosphere for things to make a change. So we speak about by we understanding what they're doing in Myrtle Beach today. And I think next week or so, it's going to be day 20 of flock. Same thing going to happen. And now it's going to turn into a month. I heard they call in sheriffs from all over the state to go to Myrtle Beach this weekend to make money.
Amen.
To make money. And for some reason, they don't got any head. They're down there having a good time. And the government is going to go down and make some money off of y'all. They're going to lock them up. People are going to get locked up for things they don't put into play. If they say you can't do it, half of them don't know why they're getting locked up. But that's another story. That's another story.
Amen.
The last 2 minutes we used to take the announcements where you're going to be at tomorrow. I'm invited to our Friends and Family Day. I know Pastor Brown is not going to come out there to meet the apostle, but I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there. But I already have.
Yeah, you're going to, I pray you join us tomorrow, my man of God.
But my brother done called me. He called me Monday. I want you to come to friends and family day Sunday. So I got to
I understand,
that,
amen.
Yeah, he got you. He got ahead of you that time. Let him happen. You're going to be back in Kentucky tonight, right?
Yeah, I'm up here. I'm coming out of Kentucky, but I'll be in one of those truck stops inside one of those ministerial church tomorrow morning with the truck driver having fellowship out here on this road.
Oh, okay. Y'all do that?
Amen.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, there. That's good.
Amen.
Okay. Pastor Brown, since you called me first, you want to close us out because we got about a minute. Oh, we got 9 seconds, Pastor Brown. You can close us out with a prayer or however you want to do it. We got 9 seconds.
All right.
I see
all right,
behind
the name. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, well, I mean, I'll give up the number for Beyond the Veil. The number for Beyond the Veil, those sisters over there, the overseers, Ava, Evangelist Ava, Miles, is 209-255-1000. That's 209-255-1000. The passcode is 396465. That's 396465 in Jesus' name. And we'll govern ourselves accordingly. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for this broadcast. We thank you, Lord God, for your remnant, for your evangelists that join us, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, continue to anoint him, Lord God, to lift up the standard among men, Lord God, in that office of the evangelist, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, bless Pastor Hill, Lord God, behind the scenes, Lord God. Continue to anoint the vision, Lord God, that thou hast given him, Lord God. And Lord God, keep us all on one accord, Lord God, to continue to hold up the banner of holiness, Lord God, sanctification and consecration and dedication to your name, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you, God, for this program on the spot in the Praise Media Group. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I
thank you. Thank y'all so much. God bless you.
Amen.
I'll see you next week.
Yes, sir.
Okay. God bless.
God bless.
Hallelujah.
Bye-bye.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
She was 12. She was all that. And Christ, yeah, I was pleased.